Well, Acts chapter 5, let's read again, verse 31. Verse 31. God exalted him, that's Jesus Christ, at his right hand as leader and saviour to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, the passage that we started reading with at verse 17 begins with the word but. They're having a change of theme, as it were. The but being because despite the tragedy of Ananias and Sapphira dropping down dead because of their sin, God was doing amazing things at this time in Jerusalem. He was doing a tremendous thing. Look at verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Isn't that wonderful? More than ever, there were people turning to the Lord. A unique time. The apostles were imprisoned for preaching about Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension in heaven. They were imprisoned, but they were miraculously delivered, as we read. They were delivered by an angel from the prison. And they were out preaching in the temple once again. And the officers, the leaders of the town came to them and were to apprehend them again. And Peter stands up and he states the facts of this situation. And he tells them quite bluntly, you killed Jesus. You killed Jesus. Well, the God of our fathers, yes, the God of us Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God we worship, the God we believe in, exalted this Jesus, this Christ, and he's at his right hand now as leader and a saviour to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. And that, friend, is where Jesus is now. He was then and he is now, exalted at God's right hand to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to all and sundry, to all who will call upon his name and ask him. That's where Jesus is. The people here were looking for Jesus since a while and they couldn't find him. He's at God's right hand. Now note that repentance and forgiveness here are gifts from God. Repentance is a gift. Forgiveness of sins, a gift. Both of them are gifts from God. When we first come to Jesus Christ, in faith, entrusting ourselves to him, God gives us a spirit of repentance. He gives that to us, a spirit of repentance when we trust in him, and that spirit remains with believers throughout their lives. And they've constantly got this spirit of repentance in them. We receive the gift from Christ, the gift of repentance. So when we sin after conversion, as we do every day, we repent. We're able to repent and come anew and afresh to Jesus, to entrust ourselves to him, to seek forgiveness, which he gives us. We're able to repent and come anew to Christ in faith. Peter believes this because he tells us in his first letter that he speaks to the believers there, to whom coming. He talks of Christ, this person that you keep coming to. See, a believer keeps coming to Jesus. He has to, because he's got fellowship now with Jesus. Jesus is his best friend. Jesus is the one we go to constantly. We come to God to acknowledge our sin, but looking to Jesus for forgiveness, the forgiveness that he has purchased, that he achieved for us. And that's why he's exalted, because he has purchased salvation, forgiveness for his people. It's his people who receive the forgiveness. He gives it to them as a gift. It's only Christians who can truly do this. For it is by his grace alone that we can come to Christ and come boldly, and called to come boldly, not proudly, but humbly, but assuredly, knowing this is our Saviour. Yes, we have hurt him, but we come to him for forgiveness, acknowledging his grace, his forgiveness, acknowledging his kindness to us, and acknowledging that we have done wrong, and grieving over it, and seeking grace to turn from it. It's a great comfort to be able to do that. Christians have this great blessing of being able to come and repent. To come and repent. Repentance is a daily exercise with believers. Unbelievers don't come to Christ for repentance, for forgiveness. They don't. They don't know Christ. They don't have Christ. It's believers that come to Christ and confess their sins. And it's comforting to come and to unload our burden of grief onto his shoulders. And he takes it away, as well as our other burdens. It's only Christians that can do that, for it's by grace alone that we can come boldly to Christ, knowing his pardoning grace. Christians believe he pardons and takes delight in pardoning us. He enjoys pardoning us. Now, wonderful. Jesus enjoys pardoning us, forgiving us. He's delighted to do it. Great comfort in it. It's all a gift from God. The repentance, the ability to do this, is a gift from God. By grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Repentance is a regular activity of the believer, because he regularly sins. Throughout the whole of his life, the believer repents, really. And as we said, the unbeliever never comes to God for repentance or forgiveness, although he may be sorry for the consequences that it has brought upon him. You see, repentance is a gift. Christ has been exalted to give repentance. Repentance is a gift, not a reward. It's not a reward. Salvation is not a reward. It's a gift. When Ezekiel prophesied about this special time of the Spirit's power that was to come, he said that God would give you a new heart. God gives us a new heart, friends. He gives us a new spirit. And I will put within you a new spirit. A spirit that will cause you to walk in my ways. It's God that has caused you and me to walk in his ways and to love him. It's God's grace, it's God's goodness that has caused us to love him and to walk in his ways. Salvation is all of God's grace. And the only reason that you and I have repented is because God gave us the ability. He gave us the grace. He gave us the wisdom He gave us the willingness. He gave us the power to repent. God's Holy Spirit gave us the desire to repent. He gave us the love that we have for Christ. He gives us the beauty that we see in Christ. He has done it. God changed us. He made us new creatures. Christians are new creatures. God has renewed them. The point Peter was making here was that all kinds of sinners would repent and enjoy forgiveness of sins because Jesus, whom you killed, has ascended up. He paid the price of our sins in your death. You didn't know that. But that's what happened. The resurrection of Christ. He went up to heaven and God has exalted him. And it's through the preaching of this gospel. It's through the preaching. We're obeying God. That's why we're here. That's why we're prepared to live in danger of imprisonment. That's a little thing compared to the fact that Christ is a Savior and is giving repentance and giving forgiveness of sins to whoever will ask for it. We have to begin at Jerusalem, and here we are in the temple of Jerusalem. Here we are. And we're preaching this forgiveness, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles as well. And this resurrection of the man that you killed is proof. He's ascended up to heaven so that he can give repentance. And you will find that Gentiles as well as Jews will put their hope and trust in Jesus. He gives repentance. And in a few chapters later on, we have many people saying, including Peter, then God has also granted repentance to the Gentiles also. So God gives repentance. He gives repentance. But he also gives forgiveness. God gives forgiveness. Christ is giving us. God in Christ gives forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? Well, the word forgiveness means send away. Send away. God sends our sins away. And as time goes on, they're still going away. Away from God. Wonderful. God forgiving sin. So different from the way we treat our offenders. God sends away our sin. And as time goes on, it goes further and further away. The whole thing is forgotten about forever. And that's not because of memory loss, of course, but because of God's incomparable love to us, particularly to us as individuals. God's incomparable love and his incomparable grace to us. There's nothing comparable to God's forgiveness. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, it's unreasonable. Forgiveness is unreasonable. There's no reason behind it except God's love. It doesn't make sense. Why does it not make sense? Well, it's unjust. It's unjust. It's not justice because sin deserves punishment. Sin deserves it. And if justice was to be applied, we'd be punished. But forgiveness contradicts that. It's against reason. It's unreasonable. But it's wonderful. And it's only God who could devise, and God's love who could devise such a thing as forgiveness and be just and be just about it. Sin is against forgiveness is against justice, because the person is guilty and the sin deserves punishment. Justice demands that sin not to be punished. We hear some of this on television, don't we? Quite often, really, at the very doors of the law courts, the Old Bailey or whatever, people going in to hear a case, and all we want is justice. That's all we're asking, is justice in this case. We're seeking justice. Well, can I assure each of us, including myself, that we're not at the day of judgment, we'll not be asking for justice. It's mercy we need. It's mercy we'll be hoping for. And it's mercy we need. It's forgiveness before God, because we've sinned. And sin deserves punishment. Many people today don't think that they have sinned. But that's really because they're making comparisons with others. They're seeing something on television or reading something in the media. And it's terrible. It's terrible. But it's not as bad as what we would do. And we don't think we're sinners in comparison to others. But we are. Any breach of God's law is a sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've come short of the purpose why God made us. God made us so that we would please Him, so that He would be pleased with what we're doing. But we're pleasing ourselves. And the most awful thing about sin is that it's deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Well, no one, really. The Bible tells us the heart is deceitful. And one of the deceitful things is that we don't think sin's a very bad thing at all. But it is. The worst thing about being deceived, of course, is that we don't know we've been deceived until it's too late. Until it's too late. But by nature, we're blind to our own faults. We're blind to our own faults. The fall has made us biased in favour of ourselves. There's a bent within us towards our own goodness. Now, forgiveness is more than pardon. A pardon is a declaration read out. Pardon's a declaration read out that there's a man's forgiven, but it's just the man is pardoned. It's a legal statement. A prisoner can have a pardon read out to him in prison, but forgiveness means your sin is actually sent away. It's not there. It's not there. Forgiveness means your sin's not there. Can't be brought up again. Quite often at the law courts we can hear of a second trial. More evidence has come up. No more evidence in God's court. Everything has already been come up. Things you've forgotten about has already been dealt with. It's been dealt with. And it's been finished with. It's been finalized. There's no grounds for a reconsideration. Forgiveness ends the case forever. Only God can truly forgive sins. He asks us to do it, of course. He asks us to forgive others. And we are called to do that. And the Bible tells us, especially those who have experienced and enjoyed forgiveness, they ought to practice it towards others. Their Saviour expects them to. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, expects us. There's a lovely passage that Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he's telling them to put on certain graces. Put it on like you put on clothes in the morning. Put them on. And after listing several graces which Christ had, he says to the Colossians, "Now put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." That's what Paul tells the Colossians, and he tells us two things. And God, Christ, has ascended, been exalted up into heaven at God's right hand to give repentance and to give forgiveness to everyone who asks. Whoever asks will receive. Whoever seeks will find. Whoever knocks, it will be opened. Christ is there, having purchased forgiveness to distribute it to whoever asks. If you've never asked before, ask now. The half-brother of Jesus, the Apostle James, said, "You do not have because you do not ask." And we're exhorted in the Holy Scriptures to ask for forgiveness. And he's ready there, waiting to be gracious and to give repentance and forgiveness to all who will come to him. Well, there it is. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And may you and I enjoy more and more of that forgiveness as we keep on asking him for it. Well, let's have a time of prayer now.